The following morning, Berryman prowled around the Shepherd kitchen like a sick man. He had butterflies in his stomach, and he was trembling slightly. Among other things, he hadn't slept that night. Across the room, a little black lady cook was doing a slow burn. Morality had never been ambiguous with the woman, and she highly disapproved of a party held there the night before. She held Thomas Berryman responsible. He'd arranged the bash. "Humph! I just won't work round here no more, things being like this," she complained around the kitchen. "Humph!" She scrambled a bowl of eggs and kept shaking her head in disgust. "Women's underwears in the garden? Little maraschino's cherries in the swimming pool? Humph! Humph!" She turned to Berryman and looked him squarely in the face, wise little acorn face to big mustache face. "I thought you was a gentleman," she said. "Wrong, wrong again," she shrugged. "Won't be the first time, won't be the last." Berryman was filling over by her stove, looking half contrite. He appeared to be sorry to have caused her displeasure, if nothing else. "What's this here?" he asked after a respectful pause. "Humph!" the old lady bit her tongue. She beat her duck eggs dark gold. "Now what," she said, biting her tongue, "now what in the world does that look like?" Thomas Berryman cocked his head back and popped a biscuit-sized fruit into his mouth. "Tastes like strawberries," he grinned. "Only they're too big to be strawberries." Juice ran over his chin and he dammed the flow with a forefinger. The cook moved over and nudged him away from her stove. She was half playing now. "I'm really mad at you, Mr. Shear." She sidled him across the kitchen with her bony little hip. "You a bad influence coming up Lake Stephen acting like that last night." As further appeasement, it seemed, Berryman started to fill a row of four pewter coffee mugs on the counter. "Who's who?" "Mr. Ben and you the cream and sugar boys," the old lady started. Then she reconsidered. "But you not bringing nothing to nobody. You must make it a big joke. Big joke on Mrs. Bibbs. Ha ha, very funny indeed." "Put down the coffee," she said. "Down, boy." As the little black woman returned to scooping eggs onto warmed, waiting plates, Berryman dropped small tablets into two of the coffee mugs. The tablets were a combination of iron sulfate, magnesium oxide, and ipecac. What a sore sport, he sucked his cheek as he watched the pills dissolve. What a party pooper, Mrs. B. As he continued to grin at her, the old woman finally looked up. She flashed a gold bridgework smile at him. As usual, he was forgiven. The youngest shepherd brother, Benjamin, sat still as grass, glassy-eyed, chewing a breakfast muffin over and over like it was a rubber tire. He thought he was having a heart attack. He could hear his big heart thumping and felt it could blow open his chest. His body was flushing blood, numb fingers, toes. His lungs were filling up with fluids, and he was having regrets about the life he'd led. Pancakes were being passed by. His brother was kidding Thomas Berryman about the trip back to Michigan. Benjamin Shepherd slipped down to the floor and began vomiting recognizable food. Charles and William Shepherd carried their brother to a first-floor bedroom. They held him on a bed while his body convulsed. He dry-heaved. His back arched like a drawbridge. Gradually it dawned on Charles Shepherd that his cook was screaming bloody murder in another room, back in the dining room. She screamed for a long time, calling for Charles Shepherd and for Jesus. When his young brother finally fainted, Charles ran back to the dining room. What he found was Thomas Berryman lying across the rug. Berryman was holding his knees up around his chest. He'd kicked over the dining room table. At least it was turned over on its side.
"Oh, my God," he kept gasping. "Oh, God, it's horrible."
He wasn't having regrets about the life he'd led. He'd poisoned himself. The exact sound he made was, "Oh, God!" Late that afternoon, the little cook, Mrs. Bibbs, sat on a tiny leather hassock in the front hallway of the Shepherd house. She'd cried until she had no control over her limbs. The sun was passing down through the glass portion of the front door. The woman slipped off the hassock onto the sun-streaked floor. The family doctor had just gone out the door. He'd said that both Berryman and Benjamin Shepherd had suffered from acute food poisoning. It was lucky for them, he announced with great pomp, that they'd both thrown up so violently. Orating in front of Charles and Willie Shepherd, the doctor had sternly and ridiculously questioned the cook about whether or not she'd washed her strawberries before serving them. "I think not," he'd said, and who was she to argue with a doctor of medicine? That afternoon, Benjamin Shepherd was recuperating in his own bedroom. Propped in front of a Trinitron portable, eating ice cream like a tonsillectomy patient, his large head was positioned beneath the framed Kodachrome of Maria Schneider in Last Tango in Paris. The girl had more hair over her vagina than an ape does. Benjamin wasn't flying back to Michigan with Berryman and his brothers, he'd announced. The family advised Thomas Berryman to do the same. Recuperate for a few days, get the poisons out of his system, take rhubarb and soda at regular intervals. But when Charles and Willie Shepherd stopped to see their brother on the way to the plane, Berryman, though piqued, was packed and dressed to travel with them. He was smiling thinly, puffing on a characteristic cigarillo, but he looked like a man just over a hospital convalescence. That much is approximated in a statement filed by Ben Shepherd with the Lake Stevens, Washington police. Pioneer types, Charles and Willie Shepherd fueled and set up their own plane. It was work they liked doing. Berryman pitched in where he could, driving a BP fuel truck back and forth from a hangar. The three men worked without speaking. It wasn't until all the work was done that Berryman took Charles Shepherd aside. They sat down on a small metal hand truck beside the private jet's boarding stairs. Berryman was hyperventilating. Charles Shepherd's hands were dirty as a mechanic's, and he sat with them held out away from his shirt. Phew! Berryman kept blowing out air and catching his breath as he spoke. I guess, he said, all this, phew, extra running around set me off again. Sure it did, Shepherd agreed. You should be back in bed. You look pitiful. Damn stomach's rolling. Rhubarb and soda's the thing. Fuck me, Berryman puffed. I told you, you dumbass, go on back with Ben now. Thomas Berryman continued to swear like a man about to miss out on box seats for a pro football game. Shit, he said over and over. Willie Shepherd stood close by, looking as if he'd suddenly figured something out. He was lighting a cigarette. Too much running around, he said to Berryman. Got to take it easy after these things. Phew, Berryman said. He was beet red, blushing. Fuck me, Willie, were his last words, really, to either of the brothers. He gave both men back-thumping abrazos. Then he headed back toward the big house.